Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
Welcome back to our series, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. This is Dan Darling, Vice President of Communications for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, pastor here in Tennessee, and author. Today, I'd like to read a passage from the New Testament, from Philippians chapter 3, and really one of my favorite passages. I love the book of Philippians, and let's remember the context. You know, Paul is in prison when he's writing these letters. He's not in prison in Rome, which was where he his final destination before he was martyred by Nero, when the Roman government took a turn against Christians, a severe turn, and really rounded up and killed a lot of Christians. No, Paul is probably in prison in maybe Caesarea. He's there because he stirred things up, preaching. Religious and civil authorities put him in prison, but still he's in prison. It's probably not house arrest. It could be, but it's most likely prison. Probably not great conditions. Probably not what he envisioned doing. He'd rather be out visiting churches and preaching the gospel in the synagogues. My guess is the prison jail situation was not as luxurious as we might assume like a white collar criminal might experience. And even those today who are in prison, you know, it's not a great situation. It's not something that anybody wants to find themselves in. And yet here he is, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he really is encouraging them to find joy in their circumstances and their trials, he being an example of that. And I want to read here from Philippians chapter 3. This whole chapter really talks about knowing Christ and what it means to know Christ. And I think to know Jesus, to know Christ, and be known by him is really the most important thing in the world. And Paul writes here in verse 7, "But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead." And then he says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I have also been taken of hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal, as my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." So there's a lot of truth here. And one of the things Paul is trying to get across is that his identity, who he is not bound up in anything but in Christ. And Paul, in the section right before this, talks about his credentials. He was perhaps one of the most educated religious young scholars of his day. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He calls himself a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. He was very devout Jew, well-regarded teacher of the law, was taught by perhaps the best Jewish teacher in all of Israel, Gamaliel. I mean, in terms of his status, that's who he was. And yet he says that he doesn't find his identity in any of that. And Paul is speaking as someone who probably lost a lot of his family and friends when he converted to Christianity, probably was disowned by many of them. And so all his identity, all the tribal markers that he had had his whole life were stripped away. He says, but everything that was a gain to me, all those things that mattered to me, I now consider to be lost because of Christ. Everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ. Paul's saying, I lost everything. He's saying, if you would have asked me growing up if I would have seen myself sitting here in a prison cell because I followed this itinerant rabbi from Nazareth who I encountered on the road to Damascus, who I believe rose from the dead. And I've joined this new fledgling movement that it's making its way around the Roman Empire that's being ostracized by the culture and persecuted by the government. Probably not what was in my life plan. Probably not what I was thinking and my 5 and 10 year projections. Probably not the kind of thing that a person aspires to be when they graduate high school, if you will. But this is where he was. And he says, but none of that matters to me because I know Christ. And I just think about this time of the coronavirus, and I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're someone who lost their job. I just read tonight where Waffle House is closing all of their stores across the United States. We're just in unprecedented times where things are shutting down. And I just think of all those workers that's their daily life. That's their routine. That's how they make money. That's how they feed their families. And I don't know if they're being taken care of. And I'm sure there's going to be government stimulus that will help them get through. But still, losing everything. Maybe you're someone who lost their job. Maybe you're someone who is sick right now. And maybe you've lost someone close to you. Maybe you got fired from a job. Maybe you've been betrayed, let down, abandoned. I just want to say, if you are in Christ, your identity is in Christ. You might feel worthless. You may feel alone and afraid and worthless. But Paul says that he is found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. In other words, his identity, his goodness, his sense of worth is all in Christ. We have to kind of come to that realization as we face uncertainty and hard times and difficulty and challenges, that our identity is not in what we do. I know for me, a lot of my identity is in my work, that my accomplishments, writing books, writing articles, speaking, doing media interviews, you know, leading people. You know, for many of us, our work becomes our identity. And sometimes when we have to slow down or it's taken away, we have to reevaluate our lives. And I think this is a season of pruning and reevaluating for many of us. It's difficult and it's hard, but it also allows us to lean in on what really matters and what's important. He says, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. And what Paul is saying is that he is so identified with Christ that he died with Christ and he will rise. He's rising again with Christ. And this is really the life of a Christian. We have a new identity. We were dead, we were buried, and we have been made alive by Christ. It also just gives us the hope of the future resurrection, that, man, if everything's lost and all hope is lost and all else fails and everything crashes around us and all the markers that we found our identity kind of crash around us and we don't know how to kind of grab hold of anything, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. If you're in Christ, you have the resurrection to look forward to. If you're in him, we have everything that we need. He says, not that I have already reached the goal or I'm already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've also been taken hold of by Christ. He's saying, I have been taken hold of by Christ. Now, what I love about Paul is he's saying, man, I haven't gotten there yet. And I'm not perfect. In other words, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, has hard days, has days where he doubts and fears and wonders what God is doing in his life. He says, this is where I'm aiming for. I make every effort to take hold of it, to grab hold of who he is in Christ. And man, in hard times, sometimes that is all we can do, is grab a hold of who we are in him. Lately, our family's been singing through the hymns, and I've been listening to to a lot of hymns as I work, and it's just those truths kind of rebounding through my soul have been so precious and so important, so helpful to me. Sometimes we have to grab a hold of who we are in Christ. He says then, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." I think one of the hard things about this kind of uncertain season we are in with the coronavirus, with being shut into our homes, with the economic uncertainty, one thing I keep saying is, when are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to get back to the way things were? I think that's the instinct for many of us. And I think, I don't necessarily think that's wrong. We want people to flourish. We want to flourish. We want to be able to visit people that we love and hang out with friends. But there's also a sense where maybe God doesn't want us to go back to normal. Forgetting what's behind and reaching for what's forward. Okay, we're here now. This is not where I wanted to be. This is not what I imagined. This is not what I planned. None of us planned beginning of the year and our New Year's resolutions and our big plans for our churches and our organizations and all of our best made plans. None of us imagined we'd be here. And yet Paul says, but we're here now. I don't look behind. I don't look back at the mistakes and failures. I don't keep reaching for this golden era, golden time that I want to sort of go back to. This is where we are, and let's make the best of it. We are the people. Christians are always the people that don't look backward with nostalgia, but we look forward toward the city whose builder and maker is God. He said, "I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." So he's looking forward, not backward. This is how Paul could kind of cope when he's in prison. This is how he could cope with a life that he didn't envision he would have. This is how he can endure disappointment and betrayal and failure. He didn't look back, he looked forward, and he grabbed a hold of Christ. And I hope we can do that wherever you are in this season, this uncertain time, as we battle a pandemic and we shelter in place and we stay in our homes and we wash our hands and we face the future. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Christians in the Time of Coronavirus.
Do you want to better understand the Bible and give biblical answers to those who ask you about your faith? Hi, this is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Podcast Show. Listen to us weekly as we bring the truth often found in the ivory towers of seminary down to the steeple towers of the local church. Join me along with many of the nation's top theologians as we offer answers to life tough questions from an apologetic perspective. Subscribe to the show at lifeaudio.com.